Book of Lamentations, the verses you chose, Lamentations 3, 22 to 24. Well, as I get started here, let me make one thing really clear. It's Lamentations and Revelation. Okay, Lamentations, there's many of them, and one Revelation. So just to make that clear as you do your Bible studies and things like that, this is Lamentations. Lamentations, what a book. It was written by the prophet Jeremiah. It's one of those books, if you know, you just say, open the book, open the scriptures up, and somewhere in the middle, you'll find Lamentations, actually, right after the book of Jeremiah. That's where you will find this this little book, a profound one. It was written around 575 BC, that is before Christ, not before the Common Era. I don't know where that came in. In any case, 575 BC, maybe even a little before that, as this prophet Jeremiah witnessed God's divine judgment poured out upon his people for their rebellion and sin, and their, and it even mentions in there, their adultery towards God and turning from him towards other gods. And so he pours out his wrath, lest you think God doesn't have that, onto the people of Judah, and also in particular on Jerusalem. And so this book contains the horrors, literal horrors of war when you read through it. In fact, the Hebrew is so graphic that all translations soften the language as you read it. And if you do read that and you look at it, just remember that the language is even softened. It's that graphic in the Hebrew, the horrors of war and the people that were left, that were carried away into exile into Babylon, in this context of Babylon moving in and executing God's judgment. It really happens because of the stupidity of King Hezekiah, who about 100 years before that, if you know the story from the book of Isaiah, this king then, as the Babylonian envoys were in town, as it were, visiting Jerusalem, he, in his pride and ego, decides to show them all the gold in the temple. So note to self, don't do that. So what else are they going to do? This was the motive, one of the motives then for them to move in and do this. I say the horrors of war. Actually, it wasn't even a war. It was just a massacre is what occurred here. And so you read these terrible events in this book, all the way to cannibalism, if you read this book. And I won't even get into that, in how terrible it was. The prophet witnesses this and records it. Lamentations, therefore, captures human suffering so well. If you read that, you can connect with it. It's relevant even to life today. I want you to try this quiz with me. let me just confess up front here. If I had to set up this quiz, it would be Lamentations or Johnny Cash. It wouldn't be just saying. But you know what? We're going to go with Taylor here. Let's see if you can tell them apart. Here's the first one. Have you ever seen anything like this? You can put a beat to it if you want. Ever seen pain like my pain? Seen what he did to me? All right. Is that Taylor? Or is that Taylor? Anybody for Taylor on this one? I see. Oh, yeah. Okay, we got some Taylor Swift fans here. Anybody for Lamentations? That's from Lamentations, by the way. You thought Taylor had a corner on the market, right? Here's the second one for you. A little brief test. Like shadows in a faded light. Oh, we're invisible. Taylor? Who says Taylor Swift? Yeah. Lamentations. Oh, no, that one's Taylor. By the way, after the last two services, I found out all the Taylor Swift fans in the congregation. Here's your last one. We've been to hell and back. We've nowhere to go, to turn, nowhere to go. Rivers of tears pour from my eyes. Okay, Taylor? A few Taylor people. Lamentations? Ah, you're catching on. Yes, that's Lamentations. Yeah, you couldn't quite put a beat to that one, could you? You get my point. As funny as that is, and thank you, Pastor Kunze, for mentioning that. That was his idea. Every once in a while, I take those. But I like that because it shows how very real and raw this book is. It shows that human suffering's common experience throughout the ages, so much so that it rings even true to today, that you can pick up a pop star and compare the two, and it's sometimes hard to tell them apart. Most people don't know that and feel that and see that in the Scripture, but that is. And that also leads us to this. I think that more than any other book in the Bible that I can think of off the top of my head, this book of Lamentations must be taken as a whole. You cannot really cherry pick verses out of Lamentations and get the point of it. It has to be taken as a whole book, all five chapters. And let me explain. I'm not going to go through all five chapters. Let me explain what I mean here. See, Lamentations is a poetic and creative book, very poetic, very creative, very artistic from start to finish. The whole structure of it is artistic, as it were. As you can see there, there's five chapters. So chapter 1 and chapter 2 both have 22 verses. Chapter 3 has 66 verses. And chapters 4 and 5 have 22 verses. So, and you can, the 66 verses, of course, is what? 22 times 3. Now, where this comes from, this is not a magic number, is that there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So what happens here is the writer, Jeremiah, forms an acrostic out of the first four chapters. Acrostic is he takes the first letter of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, and he starts that verse, and then the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the third letter of the Hebrew. So it's Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, and it goes right down there, and those letters start the verse. That would be tough to do. And in chapter 3, then, he uses three verses at a time. So the first three verses begin with an aleph. The second three verses then begin with a beth, and so on and so forth throughout this book. So it has a unique structure to it. And what I want you to think about for a second, what would you think? By looking at the structure, where's the guts of this book? Where's the main point? Where would you think it would be? Chapter 3, yeah, right in the middle, all those verses, which is interesting. You can see that the core message is in the middle of this book of Lamentations. And unlike any literature that we see today, with that main point of Lamentations in the middle of the book, a real central point, no pun intended there, is right there in the middle of it, which is where we will find our text for today. But before we get there, we do need to ask the bigger structure question. What is the artistic structure of Lamentations meant to teach us? Why is it written this way, and what is that a model of for us to see? Well, the Hebrew mind and the Hebrew way of thinking is not like the Roman, Greek mind, the Western mind, as it were, of literature and mythology, not at all. In fact, the Hebrew mind took the Scriptures as a whole, as it took the body as a whole, didn't divide mind and spirit and soul and all those kinds of things. Everything was seen holistically, and so with the Scriptures, these Scriptures are seen, all of them, as living and active words. And so no precious words were ever wasted on myth or conjecture as it would be in other places. In fact, this is a book about life, l'chaim, to life, and it's still a cheer today with Hebrews' way of toasting. To life, l'chaim, and this is how that book is meant to be. It's meant to teach us about life and how we live life. Lamentations' very structure is meant to show us about this and how we live this life in God and what that looks like in the midst of suffering This book carries the message of Christ, centered, Christ-centered life in a broken and suffering and sinful world. And so we look at it that way. It's life surrounded by self-inflicted suffering. This is what it talks about. And so this simple repeated pattern occurs in Lamentation as it builds to the middle, whether you start at the beginning or build backward to the middle from the end. And this is that repeated structure. First of all, we are called to own the suffering. In this case, it's telling us that he's teaching the people there that it's your fault. You're the ones that brought this on yourself. You brought this destruction on yourself. You were the rebellious ones. You were the ones that sinned against God. And therefore, you need to own it. This is what the prophet's saying. Own it. Now, for us, it answers a mighty important question as well, though, in our life. Today, right now. You know the big question? Why does God allow suffering in the world? Why does he allow these things to happen? These events and all that. And we think of all this stuff in our mind. You know what? You're not going to like what the book of Lamentation teaches. It teaches something very simple, very direct. If you want to know why there's suffering in the world, it's very simple. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Your fault. It's my fault. We're the ones that are responsible for it as much as the children of Israel were responsible for it in the book of Lamentations. We brought the sin in the world. We brought the brokenness into the world. It's us. It's you and me, and we're responsible for it. We need to own that. This is what this book teaches. Own it. You did it. In fact, it says in Lamentations 3:33 that God does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. It's not his idea. It's our rebellious hearts. And the healing starts with owning it. We're responsible. Stop playing around with this. It's us. Which leads to the next part of this structure. Confess it. Confess it. This destruction is on them, on us, the brokenness and suffering of this world. And that leads us to that process of confessing it. Yes, God, you are right in your judgment. And we are sorry for what we've done. We ask for mercy, forgiveness, and restoration. And this is the process that goes on throughout those side chapters, 1 and 2 and 4 and 5. The prophet walks him through that. Interesting. Just before we get to the great comfort passage that we have as our text, right in the middle of the book, we find a grand prophecy in the first 20 verses of chapter 3. A grand prophecy about Messiah Jesus on the cross. So I want you to catch how this works. So you have all this around there, the confession, owning it, and the confession, and the pleading for God's mercy. And then the first thing it takes you through is to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, there's no other way to see or focus or no relief except for the key of the gospel that opens this book up. You will not understand it without it. The prophet in those first 20 verses takes us through the rejection of Christ. In fact, you will see in Lamentations, we use a lot of this in the Good Friday services. I'm not saying you don't pay attention, but I'm not sure that's like the first thing that comes to mind on Good Friday. But a lot of these verses are used there. So he takes us through the rejection of Jesus by all people, including also his father, God, rejects him on the cross as he becomes the greatest sinner the world's ever known, as he takes every drop of sin upon himself. All your rebelliousness in mind, all of your brokenness, all the suffering, all that the sin has caused, he takes it on himself and experiences the rejection of everybody, including God, because of this. On the cross, Jesus is suspended alone between heaven and earth, utterly rejected by both heaven and earth, as he bears our sin completely. That's what these verses show and reveal through the prophet. This is exactly what Jeremiah describes in Lamentations 3, 1 to 20. All the way down in detail to the bitterness and the gall offered him on the cross. I got to ask you, in my heart, I look at this, and I want you to understand here the power of the cross of Christ to overcome all this. That Jesus is written into our suffering. Written into it. In the middle of it. Just like it is in this book of Lamentations. In the middle of it. Written into your suffering and mine. All of it. You're not alone. He took it upon himself. Jesus is written into your life by the Word of God and identifies with your broken life in this book and is your way to healing. The only way, the key that opens up this great book of Lamentations. And the end of Jesus' suffering leads then to our text. Now you will understand the middle of the book of Lamentations through the cross of Christ. But this cross of Christ I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great, O God, is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That at the foot of the cross, all mouths are stopped. Do you see it? Do you see it with me? What's going on here? Do you see the power of God in the cross of Jesus Christ in these verses? It's amazing, really. Because of what Jesus did for me, even me, these verses come alive. These are not hollow words to cheer you up. They're not just empty words stamped into some song. These are promises fulfilled and demonstrated clearly for you in Jesus Christ and what he did for you and the price he paid. They are packed with truth. And even show you how to live a new life in Jesus Christ today and each day from here on forward. The transformational life. I stole this one from Pastor Russ. But that's okay. He doesn't mind. Let me explain. Last week, Pastor Russ talked about being conformed to the world from Romans 12, for those that remember that. And he said, you know, he used that cookie cutter thing. And he said, that's from a pressure from the outside pushing in. That's what to be conformed is. I don't want to use the word confirmation because that'll scare kids. But, you know, that to be conformed to the world. And then he went on to say, because that verse talks about being transformed. And he said, transformation occurs how? From the inside out. Well, how's this book written? Lamentations. From the inside out. It's a transformational book. That's how it goes. And so when we look at this in the guts of this book, what we learn are several great things here about our life in Christ. First of all, my life is not about me. And that is so good. Thank God for that. It's a burden carrying yourself. Do you know that? It's hard. Give it up. That's what this book says. My life's not about me. I live a life centered on God now in Christ and his love for me. I can let go, finally. Someone has more interest in me than I could ever have. And it's Christ. It's about his faithfulness and not mine. And this is what I trust. God has proven that he has my back and my best interest in mind. God is good all the time. God's love never ceases. His mercy never ends. When Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," these words leap off the page. He died on the cross. He rose again. That he now is living inside of you and me. And we just ate the Lord's Supper. Literally, he is present in your life. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. This cannot be undone. Because he is faithful, I can live today. That's a relief. I've come to learn, people have shared this with me, there are 2 days of the week that I don't have to worry about. I don't have to concern myself with. Those days are yesterday and tomorrow. Those are the 2 days of the week I don't have to worry about anymore because of this promise. I no longer have to worry about yesterday, living in the regret and resentments of the past. Because what I have now is a Savior that brings forgiveness, relief, and release to me. I don't have to worry about that anymore. That's just my story that I could share his great power through. I don't have to worry about tomorrow either. Tomorrow with its anxieties, fears that really never come true for most of us. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because God's in my tomorrow. I have hope. I have patience. As his will unfolds in his time and not mine. He has gone before me. My tomorrow is secure. But it says in the scripture here in Lamentations, each morning his mercy is new. I can endure about anything for one day. Today he's given me strength to get through. God is in this moment, right here, right now. I find great comfort that life is about today, right here with you, right now. This passage also takes us through actually could be a prayer. God is my portion. I will wait on him. I will practice acceptance of his will and not my own as I wait on him patiently. He will lead me into that. I will trust in him. His love never fails. What else would I trust in this world that is so enduring and the promise that is so strong, perfect for me? I will seek his will and not my own. And that carries me into the lives of people all around me. That's where his will is exercised. And I need his power to do it. It's right in front of me right now to walk in. And I will have hope. I will always carry hope because of what my Savior's done for me. My hope that closes the door on what's going to happen tomorrow so I can focus on today. Wouldn't this be a great prayer? A great prayer to have on your mind and your heart and your lips every morning when you get up to pray that? Because I need these words. I know you do too. In front of me every day. These words lead me through all things in life as they are recorded here in the book of Lamentations. And this is the book of Lamentations that I've shared with you. There's much more that could be shared. But this is what it looks like. There's so much Jesus in this book that the fingerprints of God are through it, that even though he's executing his judgment, he always brings Christ into that to direct his people to where the relief and healing and deliverance come from. This book is indeed about life, your life, my life, a life living in the faith in the one who died for me. Amen.